live for one person, it's for a group of people. So we can never say that it's about me or about you, but it is about Israel, so it's sort of about us as people. So that says something about Western culture, the whole me, 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 the Bible's all about me. It's actually not about me, it's more about God. Mark, can I, sorry. I'd much rather sit where Mark is than up here. So, yeah, the Bible's not quite so much about me, but it is a lot about God. So when we have this kind of verse, it tells us something about God. It tells us that he makes plans, that they're for us as people. It tells us that he has good plans. A couple of verses before it said, this is in fulfillment of the promises that I made to you. So God has a lot of promises, and he makes those and keeps them. And we also have a hope and a future. Now, this is nothing to do now specifically about the exiles in Babylon. This is actually something that tells us about God. And these things are all through the Bible. They're consistent themes. They're consistencies about God. So I can actually say that, well, yes, God does have hopes for me. He does have plans for me. He does have plans to prosper and not to harm me, generally. Maybe not this particular day. But they're never about me specifically. They're about us. So not about Jeremiah, no, us, God's people. But I do like Jeremiah because, like Moses and like Abraham and Jesus, this all started because he was interceding on behalf of his people. He said, look, God, you've promised us this place. You've kicked us out. Get off your butt. Get us back. Paraphrased, Chris version. And that God says, yeah, I actually know that is part of my plan. I do mean to do that. And legitimately, he's not just saying, all right, Jeremiah, you've got a good point. So Jeremiah interceded on behalf of his people to God. So God reveals, yes, this is actually part of the plan. This is part of how it is. Which is actually some of my favorite parts of the Bible is when we see that the character of God responds to people. God's not just a person who's sitting up in a cloud and going, dispense of my goodness, dispense of my badness, ha 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 ha. He actually is willing to talk with his people and say, actually, yeah, what's happened here is kind of bad. Here's some good because I do have good plans for you. And we are part of those people as well. I'm going to cut from Jeremiah now into the New Testament because we don't need any more of him. The way that God deals with his people now is no longer through one person. He doesn't say, all right, Moses, I'll talk to you. You talk to the people. He doesn't say, Jeremiah, you've spoken to me. Now you go talk to the people. And I'm cutting through the Easter story a little bit. Please forgive me. Jesus has given us his spirit. I think we all agree. So he doesn't deal with us through Pastor Miller. He doesn't deal with us through the bishop. He doesn't deal with us through any one person. He deals through us directly through the Spirit. And through the Spirit, through Christ, because we know that Christ died for us to give us the Spirit. That's where the Bible reading came from. So, we have, I don't know if you can see him very well, happy little spirit man here. In the sea of all the people in the world, happy little spirit man here. He has the Spirit, which is sort of like us, we have the Spirit. But as John said, the world doesn't see God and doesn't know his Spirit, doesn't understand God. But you know him because he lives with you. Now, it's not talking about the Spirit, it's talking about him, the Father. But it does tell us something about God because we know that God wants to bless us, his people. But if we go further back than that, God says, well, actually, you're going to be a blessing to the world. And I'm going to hold that thought for a minute. Back in Galatians. So we're all through Jesus. We have the Spirit. And we're children of God. We're baptized into Christ. We're not really distinct from other people as being better or worse or lesser or greater or slave or Jew, blah, 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 blah. We're all equal in Christ. And again, back to this whole promise idea. So Galatians is setting up the idea that there's a unity of people on earth. There's a unity of believers. And that's through faith. And it's also part of the promise. Thanks, Steve. So after Galatians, one of the other readings for today from the Lutheran thing was 1 Peter. And Peter was already building on this idea of hope being a heavenly inheritance, which before I spoke about sonship, being heirs of Christ, being made sons of Christ. So blah, 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 blah. Concerning this kind of salvation, the prophets spoke and they tried to find things in the spirit of Christ. So that's all I wanted to focus on here, was that the spirit of God, the spirit of us through Christ, the spirit of Christ is all one spirit. And we're in that spirit, which I think you'll get. I don't need to keep harping on about it. So we're all in that spirit. We're all in this together. There's happy little spirit man again. So we have an inheritance. We have a hope and we have a future. We have the spirit freely given. And we're all together as children of God and believers. Cool. So where do we go with that? What do we do with that? I could just say, well, now we go and live spiritual lives and we be spiritual people and we live happy lives and God blesses us and we live long and prosper. Well, that's something else. So there's a lot that we could say about the Christian life. I want to keep going on with 1 Peter and I'll come back to the other two verses in a few minutes. Because Peter links this living in the Spirit with the whole rebirth through Christ, the whole New Testament life of love. He says, live as free people, but don't use your freedom. I'm not saying that we are specifically, but I think we all have the power and the possibility to do this sometimes. Don't live your spirit life, the life of love, as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. But before we were just told we're not slaves, we're actually heirs and sonships. We're sons, we're children. We get the kingdom. How does that balance out? It goes on and says, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. I don't really think of Kevin Rudd or Julie Gillard or Malcolm Turnbull as the emperor. Donald Trump, I might believe a bit more. But. So going back on what we were saying at the start, scripture out of context, we don't honour the emperor anymore. Maybe we give honour to our government. I think that's what Peter's trying to go on with here. The other verse I quoted was from John 14. If we go back a bit, John 13, this is Jesus sitting with the disciples. And he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, this is something that does get quoted a lot as taken out of context. This is just a scripture. Love each other. Go do it. It's Christianly, blah, 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 blah. But I think there's a bigger purpose that's served when we love each other. And I don't just mean my family. I don't mean within your families or even just as your friend group in Concordia or the whole of Concordia. I think Jesus is actually saying, love each other, all of my disciples, whether it's Lutheran or Catholic, brethren, whatever, denomination, believer. That one doesn't wear a suit Sunday, that one does. You know, whatever distinction you want to make there, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no male or female or slave or freedom. It's just each other. Going back now to what we said, John 14, this is just after he said that. If you keep my commands, you love me. I'll send you the Spirit. Now the world doesn't know me, the Father. It doesn't accept me. But you know me, says God, for I live with you and you're in me. That's what Jesus says in the other verse as well. So I think there's a greater purpose served by us loving each other. Excuse me. When we love each other, and again, I'm not saying that we don't, but the way that the world sees us as loving each other is a symbol to God. Now, I don't particularly want to be the symbol of God, because I know I don't do this perfectly, and none of us do. Jesus did. But this is the thing I want to harp on about, is that the way that the world sees us is the way that the world will see God. Now, why does it say here that I'm sending you an advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, Spirit of God? Why isn't it just God is with you or Jesus is with you? It's because the Spirit, I had it in here somewhere, there it is. Judas asked the same thing. God, why do you show yourself to us and not to the whole world? That's what I just said. If you love me, obey my teaching. Great God, we have the Bible. Thank you. That was wonderful. What else you got? So my Father's with them. Make our home with them. We have the Spirit. But the Spirit, who the Father sends, in Jesus' name, all together, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're all God. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, this isn't just the Bible. This is everything Jesus has ever said. Whoa. That's a lot. But this idea of going out of here on Sunday and living in the real world for the rest of the week and then coming back here on Sunday, which again, I'm not suggesting that we all do, but sometimes we all do. The Spirit is with us when we do that. I want to suggest that we don't go where the Spirit is. The Spirit is in us. The Spirit actually goes where we go. So when I go home to my family, that's where the Spirit is. When I go to work, I don't go to work, I wish I did. When I go to work, that's where the Spirit is. When I go to church, that's where the Spirit is. When we as a people go anywhere where two or three are gathered, I'm right there in the midst of them. That's where the Spirit is. That's where God is. When I told Teresa that I picked some stuff to preach, the first thing I gave her was that we've God's hands and feet in the world. Because, I mean, that's what we are. We are God's hands and feet in the world. But we're not just a cult or a Scientology. I can't be fired from being God's person in the world. I have a direct relationship with God. We as a community have a direct relationship with God. So the Spirit that's in us, in all of us together, embodies all of Jesus and his life on earth, all of his teaching, embodies Jesus in humility, which is something that we, I think, have to learn quite difficultly every single day, to be in that humility. But at the same time, we also have the Spirit of God, because it's God's Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, same thing. God the Father is the awesome, powerful one who has those good plans for us, who has the power that we see through Jesus to heal, to save sins, to give sight to the blind. That's in us. That's a big thing. Yeah, it's literally the presence of God in us. And I don't have a dot point, take home this point and go home now and write down five Bible verses that you think relate to this well, you know, something. Because I don't think we need that. I don't think we need an application from this. Do you agree? Is that a hard pill to swallow, but a big pill to swallow, but a good pill to swallow? So I'm going to just end on this point. We are literally the presence of God in the world. God's Spirit is literally the presence of Him in us. And we are the presence of God in the world. And as the world sees us, that's the way that the world sees God as well. But thank goodness He's a good God. Amen. Thank you. Finished.